war broke out in October of year 2000. And so trucks and armies were everywhere guarding. And so here we are, we're worshiping and we're violent. And the guys are looking at us with machine guns and trucks and lights are on. It's getting dark. And so I look and I see that some tension and I need to do something. So I ran toward the soldiers with the machine guns like that. I ran to them and they're hugging him. I said, "Don't you see we're here to protect you?" You don't run against soldiers with machine guns pointed. But I did. Because I've been a soldier and I'm not afraid. And I'm a soldier of God, and we have a ministry of reconciliation. It's a power of releasing peace, power of bringing peace, power of reconcile people to God. You know, because God has reconciled us to us, made friends with us. So now we have the power to make friends, other friends of God. Amen?
Amen.
So I'd like to do one more prayer for those who want to go. Specifically, you have time to go. So start in the 11th of February, so very short time, but you are able to get off work or have the time, your family will let you go, but you don't have the money. And if you don't have the money, I just want to pray that the money will show up. Now, almost every time I pray, money show up for people on the spot, like $6,000, $5,000. One lady got $7,000 on the spot from the lady behind her. And she stood up with her son, teenage son, that she wanted to go, but didn't have the money. And it was a conference, I remember, at Cheon's church. So she says she didn't even have a faith that it'll happen because she had a really grumpy attitude because she lost her second row seat at that conference. So she was sitting, way back before the last row. But guess what? God knew exactly where she needs to sit. So as soon as she sat down, the lady behind her from a conference from from another state, and she wrote a check for $6,000, gave it to her and her son to go to the trip with me. And then next morning, the lady realized the trip doesn't start in L.A., but starts in New York City. So she called the lady and she said, "Listen, I can't go to New York City with two round-trip tickets. So do you want me to return your check?" She says, No, I'm sending another check in the mail. A blank check with your name on it, so you fill the amount for two round-trip tickets, wow, which was $1,000. So $7,000 came from complete strangers. The other day, $3,000 came from another stranger. So this happens all the time. And even last night, somebody told me that their daughter came to two of our trips, and she was supernaturally paid both times, once to Asia, one to... I don't see her. Anyways... So if you want to have a breakthrough in this trip financially, would you stand up and I'm going to pray for you and expect that the money is going to come. I just want you to expect that the money will come. Because not everybody can go, but those who want to go, they have a special favor from God because the harvest is huge, but the workers are few. So the rest of you look around, see 11 people want to go. So Father, right now we have 11 sons and daughters of yours who are ready to step on the land of the promised land and to bless the promised land and bless Israeli and bless the Palestinians in such a way that will diffuse again any animosity and any fear and violence, Lord. We just pray for Israel that this conflict will be resolved by Christian believers. We have the only authority to resolve Christian. We are the only ministry of reconciliation on earth. We are the ambassadors of heaven making peace with God. So I just pray, Lord, that we would just be empowered by you through whichever means for us to go. And I just receive that. Transfers of bank accounts supernaturally from Swiss accounts to your account. Bible, I know you by your name. If he knows your name, he knows your bank account. So, and that's how you know that I'm God, because I know you by your name. Amen. And everybody say, go, go, go. Okay, so receive that faith that will go. Amen. We should do this together as a church. I don't know why we're not doing that. Down the road, we should just get two buses. Yeah. Have you been to Israel? Yeah. Have you been to Israel? Have you been to Israel before? Yeah. No? We need to. I mean, we have to. Isn't it a God idea to go as a family? I mean, we're so close together. Because sometimes in the buses come people who have never heard of us, and they just heard Israel, this and that. So they're looking at us strange, like, because we just get laughing and we get hugging, we get to preaching, and they're like, "What am I doing here?" And they're Baptist or something. It's like, and we're not just spirit filled; we're just overboard, you know. And I remember this pastor from Baptist Church from, Florida, and he and his wife, wide-eyed, like looking around, stuck in this bus with Holy Ghost drunk junkies. It's like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And their daughter, of course, I don't know, so I go and hug him, and I love you. And they, yeah. Because, you know, part of the training is training you like this. Extensive training. It goes like this. Open your arms. Yes. Now go give him a hug. Amen. You know, it's hard to kill you when you give him a hug, you know. We use hugs and food. Those two things really diffuse. Yeah. It's hard to kill you while they're eating, you know. Okay, go ahead, eat now. You can always kill me later on. Just first of all, have food, okay? So that's what Jesus says. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Why? Because they're not going to kill you. It's hard to kill you while they're eating your food. You understand? The wisdom of Jesus. Love your enemies. If they're hungry, feed them. That's it. So God is so good and so wise. And we defuse the enemy by feeding him. And we bring bags of dry food, like rice and beans and lentils and oil and sugar and things like that for the widows of the camp. And we don't discriminate. If the widow is a terrorist widow who got killed, we give to her just as much as to, you know. And so that sends the message to the leaders of the camp that we're a different breed. And the Israeli army love us because they never see smiles inside these refugee camps until we come and people get smiles and hugs. So surveilling teams, they watch everything in the camp and they say, whatever you do, you know, we've never seen anyone smile until you come with your crazy worship teams and you cause people to smile. We never see a smile. So anyways, amazing testimonies. I believe that the Lord wants to heal people tonight, today. So at the end, we're going to just have a healing line. How many need healing? So we're just going to have a healing line this afternoon. Amen? Amen. Wow. And because it says here that when Jesus went all over Galilee, of course, if you come Israel, you're going to see all the places up in Galilee where Jesus went. And he used synagogues. We went to a synagogue, by the way, one of those old synagogues that still remains, you know, from early days, and from Jesus' time, you know. And so we went to the synagogue, and we did a fire tunnel in a synagogue. We had words of knowledge. We had prophetic words. For another group was there. So, and our tour guide has never had word of knowledge, and so we activated him, and he gave a word of knowledge to somebody, guess his name and his sickness, right on the spot for the first time. Our Jewish tour guide got activated. So we had a little lot of fun with that. So he used the synagogue, the meeting place, and taught people the truth of God. God's kingdom was his theme. The beginning right now, they're under God's government, a good government. He also healed people from their disease and of the bad effects of their bad lives. Word got around the entire Roman province of Syria. People brought anybody that with an ailment, whether mental, emotional, or physical. Jesus healed them one and all. Let's just say it again. Jesus healed them one and all. More and more people came in the momentum gathering beside those from Galilee. Crowds came from the 10 towns across the lake, others up from Jerusalem and Judea, some others from across Jordan. And so huge, huge healing. So Jesus is going to do that today because he's here.
Yes, amen.
And he's in a good mood. He likes his people. And he does not like to live in sick bodies. Because he chose your body to be his temple. And just like he built the temple of the Old Testament, first with Moses, then with Solomon, he has plans exactly. And with Moses, he gave them the exact placement of the furniture inside the temple and the tent at the time. And he made specific arrangements because he says, I'm going to live here. So kind of like I want to place the furniture exactly like I like it. He's very picky. God is very picky. How many of you know that?
Yes.
Kind of like my wife. She's very picky, you know. And it took me a while to realize she got it from God. I thought she just crazy picky, you know. So I was complaining, God, you gave me a very picky wife. And then I read from one translation, and you don't get all that, everything from just one translation, but when you read multi-translation, you get different things. So I got this translation, and it talks about details about how God wants his temple and his priest to be dressed, and even the stitches on their underwear, he outlines exactly how he wanted. And the linen and the this and the that and the mixture of the texture and the, you know, fabrics. He's very picky. And that's what I got. Oh, my wife is like God. Very picky. So ladies, you're blessed because you're detailed. Some of you ladies are very detailed. Well, we bless that. We don't think it's weird. We think you're just like your God, because God is both a female and male. Amen?
Amen.
How many agree with that?
Yes.
Is that kind of hard for some to get that? You know, we don't see God as a female or male. We think he's male. But he's also, all the female qualities come from him. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
I just want to break the religious bondages here that said that God is male. Well, what do you think the female qualities came? It didn't come from the devil. It came from God. Somebody thinks from the devil, but it's from God. I used to not understand my wife, and I was sure she's wrong all the time. Because I got married, and, you know, I was a certain way, and I'm thinking a certain way, and she thinks the opposite. And I'm going, what is wrong with this woman? Lord, you know. I says, Winnie, you're wrong. She goes, no, this is the way we should do it. I says, no, that is wrong. We should do it this way, my way, you know. And it took several years thinking I'm right, she's wrong, until I realized that half the world is like her. Like those windows, you know, half of them like the upper two windows, the other half of the bottom two, you know. Like, I didn't even know half the world is like, I didn't even relate to half the world until I got married and began to get to know Winnie. And I realized half the world plans things. I don't plan nothing. I'm spontaneous. And I says, why are you planning so much, you know? We're going to change it anyway, so why do you used to plan? It's because I'm spontaneous. I have the gift of spontaneity, which is fine too. But my wife plans. She is already beginning to plan in her mind what she's going to put in her suitcases for Israel. Yes. It's 3 weeks away. She's already planning. And probably next week, a week, like 2 weeks close to the trip, she starts to get the suitcases and lines up things one after another. She puts the T-shirt and the shirt all packaged so that this is for day one, day two, day three, and she lines all that. But then now I realize it makes me look good, because every day I have a special shirt, you know, and it's planned. And now I appreciate. Before I was like, what is wrong with this woman, you know? Now I realize she's a planner. And Half the world is planning too.
Yes.
Just like her. So I understand the variety of people because my wife is so different than me. And then now I appreciate it, you know. And I see everything was that was missing is gone. It's in her.
Yes.
And vice versa. Yes. That what she does that doesn't have, I have. And together we complete each other.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Woo! And one thing we complete each other is in joy. And joy is, you know, is not something special for somebody. They call it joy apostles, but we're not, this is not some, you know, special endowment. It's for everybody. It is for everybody. And the Bible says it seems like a dream, too good to be true. Psalm 126, when God returned Zion's exile, we laughed. Ha ha. We sang, hallelujah. We could leave a good fortune. How many know that you are the people with the most good fortune in the world?
Yes.
We are designed and destined for good fortune. This is your destiny from God. He always thinks of how to bless you. He never thinks of how to withhold blessing or how to curse you. He always thinks of how to bless you. Because he's a God of blessing.
Yes.
And when he finally met somebody who believed it, Abraham, he said, Abraham, I will bless you. But that's not all. I will bless you and make you a blessing to many. So, come on, guys, you have to get this. Because you are made to be blessed, but that's not all. Also to become a blessing to many. It's your destiny to become blessing to many. The pleasure of God, the pleasure for you, the pleasure of life comes when you begin to bless others.
Yes.
But first you need to just be blessed yourself. You need to receive that you have to be blessed. There's no way for you to be cursed and bless others. It doesn't work that way. Okay? So first you have to totally resolve that the design, the core of what you design is to experience the blessings of the Lord. Because when he looks at you, oh, I'm going to bless my daughter. Every day he thinks of blessing 1,000 times a day. His thoughts of blessing for you, you cannot count them. He constantly thinks, you know. And he's like you're on his Facebook. Just right in center, right there. So might as well smile, because, you know, if I put you on my Facebook, which I will if I picture of you. Okay, so here we go. God did my Facebook. I'm going to video it. Okay. Give me the Facebook look. This is the end of the glorious conference we had here, the Kingdom Wealth. And here we are in Austin, Texas. Amen. So, now you're on my Facebook. But that's just an illustration. You are on God's face all the time. Front and center. All the time. And he's so excited about you. Put your picture there. And it's always a camera's rolling. And he's boasting about you. Look, angels. Look at my Facebook. Look at my friends. Look at my friends. And so every time you... Every time, you know, you're connecting with him and you're aware that you're on his Facebook, you know, and you look at him through the lens of his, you know, internet cameras, which his eyes basically is looking at you. Every time you connect with him and respond, he goes, like, I like, I like you, I like. He likes. Every time you say, Lord, thank you, I like it, Anytime he says, Lord, you're so good, you're so amazing. I like it. And he likes. And then he shares. Then he shares your thoughts about him and shares your praises and shares your testimony with others. First time I went to Bill Johnson's church, I actually went to Weaverville. He was already, Steve Backlund was the pastor at the time. And so I go there. And I was hoping I have a good drummer. You know, if you don't have a good drummer in a band, you have a difficult night, you know. So I used to leave worship quite a bit back. Nowadays, I just join. But I'm going, oh, Lord, I hope I have a good drummer today. I'm in Weaverville, so I just hope to have a good experience. You know, so much history in Weaverville. And I'm walking in, and I see the drummer is Spanish. He has a little brown color. I go, oh, good, it'll be better. Because just having a little color is a good sign. Because it's got, you'll have some rhythm. At least. Even if you're not that good, we'll have a rhythm. Because colors bring rhythm. Okay, so I go, oh, good. At least he's got some color. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, so we go on there, and sure enough, he's a really good drummer. And his name is Gabriel. Now he's Bill's son-in-law. He married Gabe Valenzuela. He's a good drummer, you know. He doesn't play anymore, but he's a very good drummer. And his wife, Leah, was singing. You know, she was pregnant, so she was in a chair. But you know, and we had wonderful worship. So as we're going on off in worship, I was playing that violin and singing. And then it was tremendous presence of God. And so afterwards, Steve Backlund says, you got to hear this testimony. And he's introducing me to one of the elders' wife. She says, read her name, but she says she has never seen ever visions, ever. She doesn't see visions. Tonight, God gave a clear vision of supernatural of what is happening. So go ahead, tell Georgian. And so she testifies. She says, Georgian, as soon as you started to worship, especially as soon as you picked up the violin, all kinds of angels will start just running down, coming. And they were coming, and he says, I heard them talk like human beings. I thought angels are, you know, like maybe some angelic language. They talk like human beings and act like human beings. He says, there were like two of them talking. He says, they're listening to you, and they're talking to each other and going, he's better than what we were told. This is better. This is amazing, you know. So the angels were being amazed at what you were doing. And the other goes, yeah, in fact, I'm going to broadcast this to the Middle East. So one of them, a Middle East broadcasting angel. And it's kind of like, he's telling me all that, and I'm going, really? You mean the angels, all of them don't know me and not famous for everybody? Says, okay, apparently not. And like, there's so many that knew you, but they, you know, they asked your friends to come and say, and you were better than what they told you, you know. So it's like, anyways, it was a funny story like that. But I get these angelic stories all the time. Like once I was in this vineyard church in Vancouver, and there's a prophetess of the house there. And we had an amazing time. The band was pretty much fivefold. It was a pastor and associate pastor, youth pastor, worship leader, and evangelist. So the whole band was part of the fivefold ministry of several churches together. So it was really unusual. They weren't even that great of a musician per se, but they were very connected with you because they're servants, they're ministers, so they support you really, really well. And I felt very supported and very able to go in the spirit and lead songs in the spirit. So they come, and we had a fantastic time. I mean, the presence of God was so thick, unusually. We went through one song to another in the spirit, and several, pretty much the same one song, but it went into an hour of many new songs in the spirit, you know. So after the service, when I sat down and this prophetess, she says, you know, I see angels often, but I've never seen Jesus to come in during the session. This time, Jesus walked in. And so all the angels were already there. They were kind of connecting with different instruments and just, you know. Then Jesus comes and goes, check this out. So he comes to your ear and go, la, 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 la. So I'm singing away, and this one all of a sudden, la, 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 la. And the angels go, wow. I just said, now watch this. And see, he does the drum thing. Change the drum beat. So I'm going, and the drummer right away picked it up because, you know, the leader, they're listening. And so the angels, he was doing a workshop for the angels of how he leads you in the spirit. Because they knew you can't hear him. But somehow through the spirit, you picked up the melodies and the rhythmical changes that Jesus wants you to. And it was a workshop for the angels. And they're blown away, she said. They're like, wow, how do you do it, Lord? They still don't get it. The angels are blown. Coming, you know, the angels are still wowing at the wisdom of God as it's going in through us, through the Spirit. It's amazing. It's amazing. So just understand that through you, the Lord is showing how he is so powerful and operating. So you're blowing angels away. They are envious of you. They wish they can be in your shoes for just one day to walk by faith, not to hear and to see the Lord. And yet you're following him and you believe in him and you know, and he's guiding you. That is the marvel of heaven, of how with us hearing, without hearing, we hear his voice. I mean, sometimes he speaks audibly, but 99% of the time, we don't hear him or see him, yet we follow him and we worship him and yes, give our lives to him. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, amen.
So just know that you're the envy of the angel. They wish they can live one day like you by faith. So I want to encourage you that, you know, of course, it's good to see visions. I've been to heaven twice and different experiences with God, but I just want to encourage you that walking by faith is one of the biggest things in eternity you could do. Walking right now by faith. Don't feel like, oh, well, I wish I could see this and that. That's good to see, but just enjoy your walking by faith. Sometimes I says, Lord, don't show me anything that it'll mess my walk by faith, because I want to please you. I want to walk by faith because he loves. It's a great, great, great reward for him that we walk by faith. We obey by faith. We hear by faith. And we do things by faith. That is huge. That's a huge thing. And he paid highest price to give us his faith. The faith that they live is his substance. It's not our own faith. He's not the kind of God that says, like the Old Testament said, do this, and you'll get this and that. Look, he's now, we're living by faith in the sense that we're listening to the promptings of the Spirit.
Yes.
Before we were listening to the system of the law. Now with a new law, a new system, promptings of the Spirit. Ooh, promptings of the Spirit. The prompting of the Spirit. And the Spirit is the gift from God to seal our relationship with the Lord and to empower us to connect with the Lord, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And so in the Holy Spirit, the manifold gifts of God are there, and one of the gifts is the gift of faith. Holy Spirit comes with the gift of faith for you to believe with. So the gift of faith is not something that you do. Because if it's something that you do, then if it's you that's doing it, then you are going to get, you expect some reward for what you did. But the Bible says that we have nothing to boast. Because faith is something that we receive. Faith is a gift. We're saved by grace through faith, and that is not of your own. It messed with me. That scripture messed with me. Because a part of the word of faith, a season where I believe, brother, believe. And it's almost like a choose to believe. Believe, believe, believe. And eventually it was my thing. I'm believing. I'm going to do this. And then I met the scripture. It says, it's not something you do. Faith is not a result of effort that we have done. That's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, and 8. It talks about being saved. How are we saved? And how are we remaining in that relationship with the Lord? We're saved by grace through faith, and even that is not of your own. Even that is a gift from God. So I'm going, Lord, I don't get it. I know I'm supposed to believe, and I'm choosing to believe. So I'm reading the scripture, trying to understand it. And several translations helps to read different translations. And one translation says that we are saved by trusting. And even trusting is not of yourself. I'm going, come on, Lord. I've been trusting you here. You got to give me at least credit that I trust you. I mean, I trust you. And sometimes, you know, things are against me, but I choose to trust you. But this scripture says even trusting is not of yourself. It too is a gift. I'm going, how does that work, Lord? I've never read explanation anywhere, you know, and no one has explained to me except that you got to choose to trust and you got to choose to believe. And of course, you can't believe to somebody that you don't trust them. So trust is in the essence of believing. To believe someone, you have to trust them. You know, so I says, Lord, explain it to me. How is it that it's a gift? Because it's me who trust you. I am the one trusting you, right? And here's how the explanation came. I guess I never read it anywhere. It was just totally revelation from the Lord. Total revelation from the Lord. Just from probably meditating on that verse for 15 years. This is like in the 80s and 90s. So I'm meditating because I've never read the explanation. You know, and the reason it prompted me that, because we were part of a Word of Faith movement that brought me a lot of excitement and revival and you know, sort of put wings to my, I mean, feathers to my wings. But my wife was so discouraged from our past experiences that she just got tired of believing, so to speak. Tired of, because you have to confess all the time, and it became like a works thing, and a faith works now, you know. So she says, baby, I don't know. I you know, there are some things I received, and it was easy. Like, I received the faith that healing is ours, you know. No stress, you know. And our daughter really grew up in this environment where Wynne and I got touched by faith that we could believe for her healing. And she never knew the smell of hospital. She was always healed by us praying for her and laying hands, and boom, always happened. Didn't have personal physician. It always happened, you know. So that came easy. I mean, that came boom, because we went in a community of faith people, and it just kind of boom. We just believed it. We didn't. It wasn't a forceful thing, you know. But then when it came to, but also you got to have faith for prosperity. Have faith for financial blessing. So that took a little work, you know, because we grew up with poverty mentality. So we had to change a whole perception that God wants to bless me financially. And that is good. Because money was kind of not such a good thing, you know. And it was the mindset was poverty is better kind of thing. It's more holy. Yeah. Something like that. Anyway, so faith for money was like more, it was harder. So, but yet we got touched, and you know, and when it says you do what you're doing, I can't even believe anymore. I can't stress myself. It becomes like a works for me, so I can't do it. So I'm the one thinking about this whole thing, and finally I got the revelation. How come faith is a gift and trust is a gift? It's not something you make yourself do with your power of your will. I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust you. I'll give an example. And that's how God explained to me. Okay, here's how it works. Let's say you come in here this morning. Maybe you're from not this church. Maybe you're from visitors. And you're coming into this community, and here we're Sunday morning church, and Pastor Bill is here, and Pastor Sue. You know, does anybody notice as you're walking in, how people are straining, making really huge effort to trust them.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm working hard.
What are you doing?
I'm getting ready to trust Pastor Hill.
Now, did anybody got this stressed out look because, are you okay?
No, I'm fine, but I'm making it, I'm trying to trust Pastor Hill.
Does anybody see this?
No.
No. Why? Because it's there. Trust is there.
Yes, amen.
How did it happen? This is how it works. Trust, you don't really actually try to trust somebody. If you're trying to trust and putting a lot of effort to do it, that's got to tell you that you don't. And so you're making a lot of effort to trust. So if trusting is take a big effort on you and you're sweating, and just stop for a moment and ask yourself, why am I not trusting? Well, there are two reasons why you wouldn't. Either because you don't know the person, in which case you're trying to understand and trying to get to know. Or you do know them, but they're not trustworthy. In which case, don't try. Stop. Because it doesn't work that way. Here's how the divine way works. Pastor Bill, let's say this is his character. Here's Pastor Bill's character. Pastor Sue's character together. And so, Pastor Bill and Pastor Sue are faithful people.
Yes.
So this is their character.
Yes.
So see, once you see them and you know them and you get to know them, they are faithful and they're trustworthy.
Yes.
And that gives you the gift of trusting. So you're not straining. You are receiving that. You're receiving their character by the way they are. And just if you come around them, hang around them, you get it. Oh, they're trustworthy. They're faithful. So see, that's why I explained that trust is a gift. You're not trying to do it. You're receiving the gift from someone who is faithful and trustworthy, and that gives you the power to trust them. That's why it's a gift. That's why you can't use the term, I'm choosing to trust. If you're choosing and trying to put a lot of effort, it tells you you don't. Mm-hmm. Stop while I have and think about it. Why you have to choose? Because maybe they're not faithful and you're trying to. That's where you put your will and your effort. But when they are faithful, you don't use these words. Good morning, Pastor. Today I choose to trust you again. Good morning, Pastor Sue. I choose to trust you. You don't use that language in a spirit of trust. And I push a little bit farther. Same with love. You don't tell your wife, "Hi, baby, I choose to kiss you today." if you say that, okay, we'll kiss me, you know. And then next day, "Honey, I choose again to kiss you 6 times today. I made a choice." She goes, "Okay, right, I get 6 kisses today." Next day, I'm really choosing to kiss you, 7 times today. And after a while, you're going to, why are you choosing? Don't you just want to? Like, why do you have to say, I choose to kiss you? Don't you just want to kiss me? You see, when love is there, you don't use the words, I choose to believe you, I choose to love you. You mean you don't? You have to choose to love me. You see, we're using words
right.
When we really are not experiencing and we're not flowing.
Right.
So I suggest that God, that you try this. Says, Lord, just relax. And say, Lord, I just want to experience your love. I want to experience your faithfulness. I want to experience everything that you are. And just relax like that. That's it. That's the kind of an intimate relationship I have with the Lord. I've never made myself choose anything. He chose me. When I was a communist, I was an atheist. I wasn't even looking for him. I was going to go to the rock and roll in Hollywood and just do what I have to do to become a rock and roll crazy guy. Because I was already that way in Bulgaria. So I was looking, headed for Hollywood, and I got intercepted. I was got intercepted by the Christians. But first, I ran into the Buddhist and the yogis. So I go, oh, good, I'm going to see a yoga, live yoga, because the communists don't like yogis. So I don't see any yogis. So this time, there was a session with a very famous yoga. So I wanted to go to the workshop. And it cost $40. In 1974, $40 for an immigrant was a lot of money. Jeans, Levi's were $6. So you got to tell the perspective. So $40, I walk, cough up, so $40, and I'm going in the session. And before the yogi, famous person, came out, his prep guy came to talk to us. So he's talking, and he says, now, in order to get this, what the yogi is going to do, you're going to get this nirvana. It's not a band. It's something I'm talking about. It's nirvana you're going to get. You have to really focus. You have to steel yourself. You gotta take charge of your mind, and you gotta control your thoughts. And I'm going, what? I have to do this in order to get this yoga to work for me? That is the problem. I can't steal myself. It's a chaos. I thought you're gonna help me to get this peace, but you tell me that I need to get peaceful, and then I'm gonna get it. I got ripped off because I don't have peace. It's a chaos. I'm in a turmoil. I cannot control my mind. And I got so upset that they ripped me off because they told me to do something, that the very thing I could not do. I was told that they're going to help me with that. But they made me do it. And I'm going, I can't do this. And you're ripping me off. And I got up and I made a demonstrative thing out of how I can't believe this. This is the rip-off, and I'm walking in front of the whole session, just upset Bulgarian that I got ripped off. A month later, or less, 2 weeks later, I went down. This was in Berkeley, and then I'm going down and finally went to the California area, the Southern California, where they met the Christians. They didn't tell me to do anything. They kept saying, Jesus loves you. He really does. He died for you. And I'm staring at him because I don't speak English. So they get a word of knowledge. Feed him. He likes food. That's a good word of knowledge. So they go, yeah, come on. So they brought me in and just sit down, and they cooked and gave me a nice table with food. And eat, and I can do that. Doesn't take a lot of work. I can eat. And they did the same thing the next day. And eventually, something they were doing that I couldn't figure out, other than the food, but I mean, they were praying and all that. I couldn't figure out what they were doing. But they were doing something. But I felt something was coming in. Something was coming in around me. And it was more than the food. But the food was kind of the excuse, but I kept coming because I felt something. And it just prepared me to believe. I had no faith, but the food and the hospitality, and Jesus loves you. He really died. He died for you. Come eat some more, you know. And it's like all this started doing something to me. And finally I said, look, I don't believe nothing these guys said. Of course there's no God. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go to Hollywood tomorrow. I'm leaving this because all I do is eating their food. And it's not fair. Tomorrow I'm going. I said, today I'll give it a chance. One time. So I go up in the mountain alone. Basically to disprove that there's God. I says, okay, say something, you're going to see there's no God. And I says, what do I say? I don't know. God do exist. Okay, That's a good thought. You're going to see that there's no God. So I said, God do exist. As soon as I said, God do exist, this blanket came on me. This canopy. Just. And I cannot see, but I could feel someone got close to near me. And I'm going, what is this? I can't see, but I can feel. You mean, who is this? Is this God? And the more I talked, the thicker, the closer it came to me. And I just faith, boom, that there is a God just shot right through me. The faith of God shot right through me. I did not have faith. And for years I couldn't explain how the faith appeared. Because we're not saved just by faith, we're saved by grace. Through faith. And the grace, in my case, came through God, through these God people. Through these junkies. He loves you. Eat. They didn't tell me to steal myself. They didn't tell me to focus. They didn't tell me to get my mind in discipline and work really hard. They just said, eat. And I kept loving in me and releasing his personal kindness and blessing to me. And their faith that God likes me, loves me, and I'm going to get it. This crazy rock and roll guarantee, going to get it. They kept feeding me, and their faith was coming on me, and their kindness was coming on me, and his grace was coming on me. And after 2 months of that, it pushed me over the top, and I went, and he boomed. I had a personal encounter with him. So they became the trust factor. They gave me faith. They gave me their faith, and they gave me their trust, because they are trustworthy, they are faithful. And that's how I got it. And now I have that personal relationship with the Lord, and he keeps pushing more and giving more as I give myself to him and time with him. First year I spent like literally 10 hours a day reading the Bible, first year. And the Lord kept and loving me. And it's just like, and that to this day is the strongest thing, the biggest bonding I have with the Lord. If I show you my Bulgarian Bible that I was reading, it's filled with notes and experiences. It's filled with places of romance where he had just spoken. And I had hearts and fires and explosions because different things I experienced. And so I just want to encourage you today. That's how Christianity works. Christianity works as a gift from somebody who's got it. These people had it, and they gave me their faith. They gave me their trust. They gave me their faithfulness. They gave me their love, and they gave me God's love and God's trust and God's faith in me. They gave it to me, and I got it. And I began to work with it, and then I'm giving it to others. And the same with you. And same with you. Same with you. Each one of us, it gets that gift. And we receive it. And then we give that gift. As we eat it. As we drink it. Amen. Yeah. And so the same for healing.